you're out. You want to go back there too? Jason's doing a science experiment. Matthew chapter 3, we are going there, by the way. That's where we're going to be this morning. If you would start at verse 1, we're going to go Matthew 3, 1. And this morning, if you did not know this, this is actually Pentecost Sunday. We're not going to do the typical get up on Acts chapter 2, but we're going to end there in a second. But I'd like to talk to you, what is the, when we think about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I wanted to share this with you about this church specifically. We say in our vision statement, we are a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean? What does that separate us as a church from somewhere else? Spirit-filled is a great term we use, and a lot of times we hear it and, you know, I'm filled with Spirit. I got the Spirit. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit fills each and one. Every, when you get saved, every single believer receives the Holy Spirit, okay? According to Ephesians 1, you were sealed to the day of redemption. Every single believer has the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's make that clear. Sometimes we think that, well, I'm more of a super Christian because I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, we all have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. But there is an encounter we have with the Lord called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to walk fully, and it's a place of surrender for us. And I would like to share a little bit more from perspective of how we embrace that as a church, but also how we experience how Jesus, well, John's going to introduce us to, about Jesus coming and describe what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is truly for. It is to empower us, yes, we'll get to that in just a second. But there's a part of it that this morning I really want to focus on. So let's start Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this, by the way, the kingdom of heaven, if you think about this, this was when Jesus was already born. He was actually referring to a person. That's why I love it. The kingdom of heaven was Jesus. He was here on earth. And they're saying, repent. Because all the promises that you've known, because you're going to see in just a minute, he's going to be talking to people who are well-learned in the history of the church. But I'm going to preach something different. Up to this point, there wasn't a lot of messages except future promises and talking about, but now there's something they're going to add for the first time, and that is repentance to the church. Repentance becomes a key from here on out, even in our lives today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet. Who? He's the kingdom. Him, this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. Now, John the Baptist was also prophesied over in the book of Isaiah, so that's actually referring to that. I jumped ahead of myself. But he is going to go and bring the book of Isaiah right here in front of us. Luke 4 is where I was actually referring to next month, is when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, good news. That is also Jesus opening the book for the first time, declaring who he was. This is a major, I love, if you know me well, I love to study the word. And there's a term that we use in the theological realms called hermeneutics. And it means how to study the word of God. And there's a law there called the law of first use. Whenever you see something in the Bible that represents the very first time that it's in the New Testament, it's very important because Jesus, when he refers to himself in Luke 4, and when John is talking about it here in Matthew 3, this is now going to set a precedent for us going forward forever. So now every time I see Luke 4, I think of the fulfilled promise that Jesus had for us. And now I see Matthew 3, I see this is now going to be a belief that we should have from here on forward. So this to me is the beginning of the church for us as Christians, that we have to learn, because that's what the Pentecost is all about, is that we have to learn that there is someone crying out to us that we need to come to a place of repentance. My heart this morning is truly going to be that we as a church understand the power of the message the Holy Spirit brings in our life. And it's going to start right here. So let's keep reading, because I'm jumping way ahead of myself already. I've already referred to my next two scriptures. Verse 4. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle with loins and meat with locusts and wild honey. And then he went to Jerusalem and Judea, all the region about Jordan. And they were baptized with him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And I say to you that God is able to take these stones and raise them children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bring forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is at hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When we understand that the Pentecost was the time where they brought all this stuff in, this was already a custom in place, and now they're putting this as something, as a symbol of what Jesus is going to do with us when we get to this place. Let me summarize this morning what I want to share with you through these verses rather than trying to go verse by verse. I believe as we talk every year about Pentecost, there's one thing that I really want to share with you this morning. It's on my heart. He says, John says this, that show me the fruit of repentance. I'm not talking about a works-based gospel because I think works-based gospel would omit what Jesus did on the cross. Would you agree with this? So we're not talking about adding works to salvation. We're not talking about works to get saved. We're not talking about works to be loved. You're already loved before that. So if you're in the room today, you're loved by God and grace saved you. And there's nothing you can do to get more loved and to earn more of God's favor. But there is something we can do in our life. That fruit of repentance should be evident in our lives. Would you agree with this? That the fruit of repentance should be evident to those around us, that they see our fruit and they observe who we are and what we become. When they look at our Facebook page, or when they look at our Instagram, or they look at they hear us talk, they find out what movies we watch, and so on. I'm not here to be a critic of the things that you do or talk about, but are we representing the fruit of repentance? Is our lifestyle a manifestation of the love of God? I think it was Kenny shared a minute ago that when we understand his love, that changes us so we don't want to sin. And so my heart this morning is that if you hear me, I'm not here to be legalistic. I'm not here to try to preach at you that you can't watch movies because there's nothing wrong with movies. You can't watch. I mean, I listen to country music. I've told you before, and I know it's a sin to some of you just because it says country in front of it. But you know, I'm okay with that. I'm completely at peace with myself. But we all have different issues in our lives but that's between you and the Lord. But when you understand, we ought to be marked, changed people because of the fruit of repentance in our life. He then goes on to say, let's take an axe to the root of these trees, and whatever's not bearing fruit needs to die. And so in my life, in this morning, I'm going to give you the conclusion right up front. 6 minutes into the message, I'm going to give you the conclusion right now. We need to take an axe to the root of the areas in our life that are bearing fruit that are not of repentance. If you have fruit in your life that is being born out of an unrepentant heart, a rebellious heart, or a heart that's not walking with the Lord, today I want to ask you, would you take a root to that, or an axe to that root of it, and cut that thing down today? And the way you do that is through repentance. To change our heart, to change our posture, to change our belief that what he has told us to do, we must do it his way. Amen? We have to turn the course and stop doing it our way, but doing it his. I don't care what logical sense makes to you. What does the word say? I don't care what you feel like doing. What does the word say? When we get to a place in our lives that the word of God is primary, everything else becomes secondary. And when we do that, there's a fruit in our life. That's a blessing. And people around us recognize the fruit of it. And they recognize the fact that we are walking. Now, the reason we talk about this scripture is the last two verses of that chapter is huge. Because John gives you the way and the power how to live a life of repentance. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water, which is a symbol of your repentance. But I'm going to now tell you there's one coming after me that's going to empower you to live a life that is transformed, that is cleansed. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and cleanses us. So let's start. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one mightier than I that I can't even untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why fire? Well, the next verse. Whose fan is at hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat in the garner, but will burn off the unquenchable fire. I believe this morning, my heart for the church is that we become a church that is tried by fire. The Holy Spirit wants to come this morning and burn away those things in your heart that are separating you from him. Areas of rebellion. I believe that I'm going to share something with you that Kenny shared he did a great teaching on fear. Did you know, and I think Kenny said this multiple times, fear is sin. Anybody like to just go, as much as fear is a battle, fear is also sin. Now let me just, please, just I'm going to just, whew. Somebody like, boy, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I understand what you're dealing with. Fear is a choice that we make. Kenny did a great job. Fear is a choice that we make to allow it to come in. I know every one of us get attacked every day with fear. Would you agree? Fear is an attack. The spirit of fear is coming at us from every single corner. Fear has to do with rejection. Fear has to do with failure. Fear has to do with loss. Fear has to do with so much of our lives. But when we let it in and become something in us, we made that choice. The greatest way to get set free from fear is let the fire of God come and burn through repentance fear so it never comes back again. The Holy Spirit today wants to transform us through putting us to a place of being baptized with fire like we never had before. Now jump with me to Acts chapter 1 and then 2, and then we're going to close. You thought I was brief last week. If you guys missed Mother's Day last week, I hope you had a great Mother's Day. Those that were here, I did set a record for the shortest Mother's Day sermon in 21 years, the shortest one. But you know why? I really felt like the challenge I laid out there was for all of you guys, and I hope you heeded it, that we honor our moms not just one day a year, but we honor them with our lifestyles. And I really felt like that was a word that was really supposed to resonate. Honor is a lifestyle, and I hope your moms felt that. If you're a mom, I hope you felt that from your children last week. If not, they need to repent. Okay, Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 8. We'll just read verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witnesses, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. So the very thing, the upper room experience, they're waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. And as the fire of God comes, the first thing it's going to do is going to give them power to be witnesses. Now, let's go to the chapter that everybody, we have to talk about, right? Acts 2, the day of Pentecost fully come. In verse 1, I'm only going to read the first few verses because this is not my focus this morning. Even though you should read this, it's a great, great. And the day of Pentecost fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were devout Jews, and then here's what happens. The Jews were out there for the gathering of Pentecost. That's why they were there. They weren't here for the upper. They were here because it was Pentecost. That's why they came in to the area. When the upper room experience happened, these 120 went down the streets and preached the gospel in their own dialect of all those different tribes and all those different people that were there. They heard the gospel because the power that changed them was able to change those around them. And thousands got saved over the next couple days in the kingdom. The Holy Spirit, if you want to hear, there's three things I'm going to share. Three things I'm going to close with right now. And I say close, I mean it. Three things. The Holy Spirit comes to transform us, to cleanse us, then to empower us to impact those around us. That is the vision also of our church. To equip, to empower, to impact. That's why we want to be a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church equips us by cleansing our hearts, changing us, transforming us, so we can be empowered to go and win the lost and to transform other lives. And this morning, my challenge is twofold. One is that we need to get our hearts right. And number two, we need to find out how are we doing a better job transforming the kingdom of heaven around us. So if you would, this morning, you could stand with me. And I'd like to lead you guys, as the worship team wants to come on up, I guess 17 minutes. It's pretty short, isn't it? You guys are like, what? It's okay. You guys think I'm joking? I'm not joking. I'm not joking at all. I want to spend some time praying with you guys, so give me a few minutes here at the end. You guys think sometimes the longer is the better. Do you agree with that? I don't agree with that. I don't agree. I thought of it this morning. I went through all my notes. I thought, you know, this is going to be short. I didn't think it was going to be 17 minutes, but you know what? Yeah, I don't care. The point is the message is the same. The message is this morning, there is a place that we have to get to in our lives that he is Lord and we're not. That he is the one, he is the Holy Spirit, and we have to abide and let him dwell in us. But he's not going to dwell in places that he's not invited. So this morning, I'd like to lead you in a couple of prayers. Number one, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. So let's do this. Father, we come to you this morning. And those of you just would just bear with me as we pray. I ask right now for the Holy Spirit to come and bring conviction on every area of my life. Whether it's wrong convictions, whether it's rebellion, or whether it's things I'm doing that I know I shouldn't be doing. I want my peace. And I know that every time I partake of those things, it's robbing me of the joy of my salvation. So today, I want the struggle to be over. I want to yield. And I want Jesus to come and be the Lord of every area of my life. And so I surrender to you, Holy Spirit, this morning. And now I'm going to ask this for every one of you that are repenting, this between you and the Lord. I'm going to pray this, and I want you to pray this right now. I ask for you, Holy Spirit, to baptize me in fire, to purge me, and to cleanse me. Well, just between you and the Lord, I want you to take a minute while the worship team's playing their music. I want to stop talking for a second. I want you, just have a moment that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart to realign priorities, to realign convictions, that you would stop making compromise when you know it's compromise, that you would do what the Word says and nothing less. And so today, Holy Spirit, I ask you to not just convict me, but to cleanse me, that I would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire to cleanse my heart, to purify my heart. I repent and I ask for the cleansing work of your Spirit right now.